My name is Tendrin. I've been a nun, I'll be 14 years this summer, so I have lots of practice at purification. So anyway, I thought it might be useful to do a little deeper examination of what purification practice is about, since, as Venerable Robina said when she was here recently, that Lama Zopa Rinpoche said we'd be insane not to do this practice every day. So, okay, we need to do that. So, Lama Zopa Rinpoche is the reason we're all able to be here. He's the spiritual director for all the FPNT centers. Without him, we wouldn't have our teachers. They wouldn't come. He is responsible for raising all the money that feeds the Sarah J. monks, and sort of that's the deal. You know, we offer teachers food, and they teach us. And so that's how we get Geshe Gelug, and that's how Lama Zopa Rinpoche comes here and teaches. That's how we get Venerable Robina. So, on that note, let's just try to take a moment to remember why we bothered to come. Kind of correct our motivation, because the motivation and purification are sort of the bookends for our day. It's a really good way to start the day and a really good way to end the day, is sort of to check up. So just take a moment to recall to mind the reason why you decided to show up this morning on this beautiful day when you're busy. So really try to set an intention to be present for these few hours. You don't have any other place to be. You've made a commitment to being here. So kind of shake off the thoughts and worries and planning outside of this time, and just try to have an open mind take what's useful for you. And this is just an opportunity to investigate some of the Buddha's teachings and set an intention to make this time valuable for your own mind, to benefit you, and then that will ripple out to benefit those close to you. So we're here at the Kadampa Center by the grace of the members of the center here. We don't charge at the center, but we do need money to run, so donations are always appreciated. It's how we turn on the lights. So help us if you can. Okay, how many people are familiar with... y'all all look familiar to me, so you're familiar with... You know, so are we Buddhist here for the most part? Kinda? Okay, so, and who's not? Just so I know when you have a look at me like, what in the world is she talking about? I can address that, so feel free to ask anything. Okay, so the main reason I wanted to do today was because of all this emphasis on purification practice lately. Like Geshe's been talking a lot on Sunday mornings about self-forgiveness, self-compassion. And in Buddhism, self-compassion is purification practice. That's what it's about. It's basically getting back to, you know, what is your thought of what purification is? Who has any brilliant notion? Yeah. Who has trouble with the idea of purification? I did, years and years and years. Okay, what's this notion about? So purify, what does that mean?
Remove the negative.
To remove the negative. Okay, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Yep, okay. So what is Buddhism about? What's the main theme you hear all the time? Bodhicitta, think positive.
Compassion.
What are these? What's compassion? It's a state of mind. It's all about the mind. The mind and heart are the same word. So it's all about the mind. Purification is about changing the mind. It's not magical. It's not about Buddha's coming down and saying, woo, woo, woo. It's not about that. It's about us taking responsibility for doing things we're not thrilled about. You know, at the end of the day, we kind of go, oops, did it again, yelled at those kids, oops. You know, I yelled at all the drivers on the way here, you know. Those kinds of things. These are actions. These are so the purification practice is an action that the Buddha's taught, or the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha taught, to help us change our mind so that we will be happier. The biggest beneficiary of purification is us. Those who do it benefit. Because it's really about saying to ourselves, I did this action, I said this word, I had this thought, and I'm not thrilled that I did that. I don't want to be that person that does that. I want to change that habit of doing that. So you take responsibility for having done it. You acknowledge that it's not something you wish you had done, so you regret it. This isn't about guilt. It's not about stacking up all the things that not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. It's not about that. It's just about a method to be able to say, ooh, I don't like this activity of my body, speech, or mind. I'd like to do something about it. And the main way to do that is to regret it and make a resolution to restrain yourself in the future from doing it again. I mean, that's really what it's about. So the reason it's recommended that we do this, that we'd be insane if we didn't do this every day, is because it's how we can go to sleep well at night. We can go, okay, so, you know, I'm not a Buddha yet, so I screwed up all day long, you know, whatever. And, you know, we let ourselves take responsibility for it. And what is that? Why would we care? Why should we take responsibility for it? What does that imply? Yeah.
That you are in control?
That you're in control. That there are consequences to our actions. And what else?
That you can do something about it.
You can do something about it. You can change it. That we are not our actions of body, speech, and mind. That we're in charge. And that we have lots of habits, good habits, that we can be happy about. And we have habits that we want to change. You know, stop that. And this is just a tool to help reinforce that desire to change. And it's an acknowledgement that it takes effort. You know, for years, I wanted to wake up a non-smoker. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. You know, you have to stop smoking. And you suffer when you stop smoking. Changing habits is a process. And you know, it's difficult. It's not, it takes effort. It is effortful. But it's doable. We've all changed habits, you know. So we start our day with, you know, I said they were bookends. So we start our day with setting a motivation about how we're going to be that day, how we're going to receive people into our hearts, how we're going to interact with people, how, you know, what do we want our day to turn out like. And then at the end of the day, we just check up. Well, how'd we do today? You know? And then we do this practice of applying the four opponent powers. And then, we're not done yet, then we take care of the good stuff we did. We rejoice. So really, the last thing we should do before we go to sleep is rejoice about all the stuff we did well today. Because we want to do it again. So just plain old psychology, you know, we reinforce the good stuff by rejoicing about it, reminding ourselves that that too takes effort. And we want to do it again. So first we clean up our act by kind of looking at what we didn't do so well, and we take responsibility for it. And then we look at what we did well, and we take responsibility for it. You know, we are in charge. Okay, I thought I had 3 hours this morning, so I got a so my brain's paced at a 3-hour pace. Wrong. So I'm gonna. Okay. So the Buddha, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Lama Rinchen Mo, the Graduated Path to Enlightenment, Lama Tsongkhapa's big book on it. Well, this is in there after karma, on purification, the four opponent powers. And he talks about the source. So the source isn't Lama Tsongkhapa. It's, you know, it's not Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It's not Atisha, it's Buddha Shakyamuni, and he taught it in his sutras, Sutra of Golden Light, which we recite a lot here at the fourth chapters on confession. Shantideva talks about it. I'm a little nervous. So, I've got this written down somewhere. So the Sutra of Golden Light, that's a source. Just so you know, we didn't make it up yesterday. You know, that this is a tried and true method of that's recommended. So, who knows what the four opponent powers are? Or who can say what the first, or all four, because the order changes. Yeah. Regret. Reliance, that's refuge.
Remedy.
Resolve. All right. That bought me a minute. All right. So.
When you taught that many, many years ago, I was added that rejoice, so I've always...
It's there are five R's.
I've always added five.
Yes, and you'll notice in like the seven-limb prayer, you know, you'd prostrate. That's our, you know, respect to the elders. Then we make offerings, you know, because we like presents, you know, we like flowers, we like water, we, you know. And then we confess, and then we rejoice. That's the next step. So I can't emphasize that enough. That is really an important piece, is to rejoice about the stuff you did right, because we don't do a lot of that in our culture, and it's a mistake. So the Buddha taught that we're going to go through all these steps in sort of a non-sectarian way, okay? And we'll also, you know, y'all, you know, a lot of y'all are Buddhists, you know what those things mean. But I really want to look at this. So purification isn't about somebody else washing your laundry, you know? Nobody can do that. It's about us making the decision, I don't want to be the kind of person that says that, that does that, that thinks that way. That's all it's about. So you get to decide what you think are the kinds of qualities that you want to be and do. And if you're like me and you have no clue what you're doing, you rely on someone else's teachings. I rely on the Buddhist teachings because, you know, after 40 years, I wasn't doing it very well. My life wasn't working out so great. So I needed to get on a different track because the track I was leading myself down was not helping me be happy. And it certainly wasn't helping the people around me be happy. So, you know, so I need help. So I take refuge in the Buddha. But mainly it's sort of like, okay, I want to change, and I need some tools to do that, because, and I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to take a little class and find out what somebody else does and that seems to work for them. You know, that's how I got started, you know. So it's just, you know, we seek out answers to our problems. And so this is an answer that the Buddha provided, you know, so you can take what works for you, leave the rest, you know, or at least put it on a shelf and examine it, you know, over time. But I used to think purification, how do you do that? Because what is it that we'd really like to be able to do? Or what I'd really like to be able to do? Oh, you'd be, well, that's just a habit. Let's beat ourselves up. We're going to hold on to this negative quality for the end of time. Okay, what else would we really like to be able to do? Feel sorry for ourselves?
Well, just pretend it
didn't happen. I want to erase it. Guess what, folks? Purification won't do that. No matter how much practice, no matter what you do, you still have to live with the fact you did that. You have to take responsibility. That you can't skip. That's the deal. We can stay in denial, and what does that do for us?
Nothing.
Then that means tomorrow we get to go, oh, I did it again. And the next day, oh, I did it again. You know? So if you want to do purification practice for the rest of your life or at the end of time for all hours of the day, don't change. You'll have plenty to purify. So, but, and it's not magical. You know, it's not something you can do and suddenly you'll be different tomorrow. Doesn't work that way. Too bad. But, you know, so sad. Whatever. But you cannot get there if you don't see what you're doing wrong today. You can't change. You can't go towards the kind of person you want to be if you don't know who that is. You know, if you're not able to be self-aware, what am I doing and do I like me? You know, so when you first start to look at your day, often it's depressing. Because, you know, you start to really, you don't stay in denial, you know, and you kind of look. The good news is we don't want you to stay in that place of beating yourself up or feeling sorry for yourself. You know, regret is an action. Resolve is an action. Restraint is a non-action, but it's an action. You know, reliance is an action. Remedies are actions. These are all, I'm going to take some action. So, the first one that we need is regret. So let's just take a minute and just want you to think of something you did this week that you regret. Not, I don't want you to think about something you did 10 years ago. Just think of something today, yesterday, something this week. Take a moment. It might be just a thought you had about somebody. It might be words that you said. It might have been a physical action. And then let yourself feel regret. You know, how do you feel about that? Imagine what, if there was someone else involved, how they felt when you did what you did or said what you said, or how they might feel if they could read your thoughts. And allow yourself to really imagine the suffering it may have caused yourself or someone else. Hurt feelings. If you cut someone off in traffic, maybe it scared them. And take a moment to think about why you wish you hadn't done it. And allow yourself to feel that, not just think the words. If you're Buddhist, you can think about what are the consequences of that action. There'll be an environmental result. There'll be a result that's similar to the cause, which means somebody's going to do it to you. There'll be a fruitional result. Okay, so has everybody got something? Well, don't stack them. I think one of the really key pieces to being able to feel like this practice is helping you is to really allow yourself to feel bad. I'm sorry I did that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And if it's something that you do a lot, it's like, oh, God. There I am again. We want to feel bad about it. We need the motivation to give us the desire to stop it. And that takes effort. We can't do it if we just kind of keep shrugging our shoulders going, no, I'm not perfect. No, of course not. You're not perfect. But we can do better. And we sleep better at night when we do better, when we try. It's not about success, it's about trying. It's about feeling like when you go to sleep at night, you know, I gave it my best shot today. You know, that feels good. It's a more peaceful mind. It's a more at ease mind. So at the end of the day, when you can kind of look going, yeah, I really don't want to be that kind of person. So then we have to go, but I don't know what I'm doing because I keep doing it again. So we have to rely on something. We take refuge. So we turn, and what does refuge mean? What's refuge mean?
Seek safety.
Knowing the direction that you're going. You seek a solution. Where are we safe? With the guru? Is the world safe?
No.
No. Sorry. Not safe. Where do we build safety? In our minds. We need to know we can handle it. We need to feel like we've trained our mind enough that we can handle what comes up. And taking responsibility for our body, speech, and mind is one of those ways we build safety. You know, it's one of those ways we can go, oh, okay, I'm paying attention, I'm seeing what I'm up to, and I have the ability to work with that. You know? I am unrecognizable from the person I was 20 years ago. I am not the same person. And it's from the Dharma. But it's not because the Dharma is magical. It's because I did the work with the Dharma. And some things I'm absolutely no better at than I was 20 years ago. Some things are harder than others, and it's different for every person, you know? So we have to be prepared for that. You know, you're not going to work hard for a week and get rid of the junk. It's a process, but it's a process everybody's in, you know? If they're not in it, they're Buddhas, and yay, they're leaving us teachings. That's good news. We don't have to be envious. We can rejoice. Yay, the method works. So, we've done something that we regret. So we're kind of seeking out. The fact that you're here says, okay, I'm open-minded to the possibility there's something I can do about these things. You know? So we turn to lots of things. One is our sense of right and wrong. That's how we got started. You can't regret if you have no sense of right and wrong. You know? So we're kind of relying on our values already. That's kind of the first thing. I know what kind of person I'd like to be, and this action doesn't line up with that. So I'm going to regret that, and I'm going to resolve to try to not do that again. And so we can turn to one of the things we can rely on are methods. You know, so the Buddha has these methods, the four opponent powers. So regret's one of them. So you've brought regret to mind. So then you're turning to those teachings. That's reliance. What's the next one? Remedy. Okay, so there's a remedy. Well, most of us, you know, that have been coming here, you know, we hear about the 100-syllable Vajrasattva mantra, which took me forever to learn. Geshe Gelug had to sit in a car with me and record it for me slowly so I could play it again and again and again, because I couldn't pronounce, I still can't pronounce it, let's face it. But anything can be a remedy. So you don't have to, if the techniques of visualizing some, you know, being that's already done the work and been successful, you know, visualizing that and saying their name mantra like Vajrasattva, you know, if that is sort of like not doing it for you, you don't have to rely on that. We all know things we can do. What's one of the things that comes to mind?
Apologize.
You know, that's a starting point. It's not always appropriate to apologize. You know, sometimes apologizing is intruding into someone else's space. You know, sometimes, you know, if you cut someone off in traffic, not likely you're going to be able to apologize unless you hit them. then you might get that chance in court. So it's, you know, but so apologize is a good place to start. And apologies are more successful if they're sincere. So regret helps that. Don't apologize when you don't mean it. When you're really saying, sorry, I'm having a bad day, too bad for you. You know, you're in my way. And so, you know, those don't really work. And those are the 10 times that, you know, we find ourselves saying I'm sorry a lot. Because we're really not doing anything. We're not really sorry. We're just sorry that, you know, that you... that you made some, you know, that you've had, it's really, I'm sorry that I've made you look at me that way, because that feels bad to me, you know, but you're not really sorry about the fact that you've hurt them in some way, you know, it's more like, oh God, do I really have to apologize, I really don't have time for this, you know, we need to recognize that we do that, we plow through our days, change doesn't allow plowing through. You know, you really have to be aware. You know, you have to notice that this is what I'm doing. And it's, you know, and know I'm doing this well. You know? So, yay, let's try to repeat more of that. And I'm not doing this well. Okay, let's try not to do that. Okay? So with the remedy, you know, you can, you make, but you're making a decision. You know, it's reflecting the fact, oh, I did this, I regret it, I'm taking responsibility for it, I want to repair it in some way. Even if it's just, I want to repair the energy in the universe. You know, I put in some negative energy, now I'm going to put some positive energy into the universe. So I'm going to go help someone with their groceries. I'm going to go help at the food bank. I'm going to, you know, you can match them up. You know, oh, I was really chintzy with whatever, that tip the other day, so I'm going to make really nice offerings on my altar today, you know, whatever. Or I'm going to over-tip the next guy. You know, I was really impatient with my kids yesterday, so I'm going to devote this time to them today. You know, and nothing's going to interrupt. My phone's going to get turned off. I'm not going to check my messages. I'm not going to be sitting there with the whatever device you got, you know, whatever. You know, not going to look at that. You know, I'm going to be there for them. That's the resolve. You know, you have this remedy and then this resolve. I'm going to do this and I'm going to refrain from doing that. You know, I'm going to refrain from impatience, blah, blah, blah. So what do they tell us about that? What's the advice about the restraint, the resolve?
Keep it realistic.
Keep it realistic.
For the next minute, I'm not going to think any dirty words or something.
Right.
I'm trying to say I'm never going to swear again.
Okay. Was that what you were going to say? Okay. So why? Why do we care?
Baby steps of success.
Vowels are important.
Vowels are important.
You
don't want to set yourself up for failure, because what does failure mean in this case, too? You make a lie. Ooh, I'm lying again. Yeah. Yep.
I have a question.
Yep. Sigh.
So, like, I like resolving not to do stuff. I like resolving not to do stuff again, you know, realistically. But what I don't understand is the part, like, if I resolve not to do something and then it comes up, and I don't...
Then what comes up? The condition?
That condition comes up where I have the choice to either go back to what I was doing or not, and I don't. That feels good. But what doesn't feel good to me is to, like, kind of resolve it, and with the resolve saying, oh, I'm going to go right this wrong right now. It seems contrived. But yet I've heard it in here, people say, well, you know, if you can't really make the amends, you know, go do something to make yourself feel... It sounds like I'm doing it to make myself feel good.
And you are. This is true.
But it doesn't... It seems contrived. For me, I have a...
It is contrived.
Like,
Like it's totally contrived.
Throwing money on a situation or something is like, doesn't make any
sense. If you want to wait till you get it right,
right,
it will not happen.
Okay.
It's contrived because your habit is not to do that.
Right.
It's to do it the way you don't want to be. So it is contrived. You're having to try to make the effort to do it differently.
No, I get that part. What I don't, like...
The remedy you're talking about?
I don't know. It's like, if let's just say I was mean to some stray dogs and
right.
I had them and I let them go and
right.
didn't return them to a home.
Right.
And then it just doesn't make sense to me. Oh, okay, I'll go volunteer at a homeless shelter tomorrow. It just seems that part is the part that seems contrived.
Will it hurt anything?
No.
Will it help you remember you don't want to do it again?
I guess so.
That's the point.
Okay.
That's the point. That's the point. What I wanted to do was show up here with one of those blackboards, those old blackboards, you know, with, I will not hit Johnny again. I will not hit Johnny again. Why do teachers do that? So you don't forget that there's a consequence to you for hitting Johnny. You know? It's not, you know, this is about changing me. You know? Because the reality is, we've already hurt someone else. That's done. Sorry, guys, you can't erase it. So there isn't there's nothing but a Band-Aid now. You've already done the action that slapped someone in the face. This is why regret's important. You know, it's not about, oh, I just want to be a better person, I'm going to be a little nice. We hurt people. You know? So when we're going to bed at night going, God, I cannot believe I talked to my kids like that again today. They're going to bed thinking, my mommy hates me. I mean, this is the reality we're trying to change. So, we make the effort to do some things to remedy as a reminder to us that it's work. To put positive energy out in the world is work. It doesn't just happen when we feel good. If we waited for all the doctors to treat us when they felt like it, we'd be dead, yes. You know? We're grateful that they show up to work when they feel lousy and when they kind of don't like sentient beings. You know? It is, you know, it's not about... The irony is that genuine regret feels good to us because it's congruent. You know, it's an appropriate way to feel if we've harmed somebody. You know? And so it feels good to be congruent. To kind of acknowledge, yeah, I did that. Now, we can go to guilt or feeling sorry for ourselves, or we can say, well, that won't change anything. You know, I need to do something so I don't hurt someone that way tomorrow or this afternoon. You know, the whole idea in this is that we want to do it differently. You know, that's our decision. If you're doing fine, cruising through life, thinking, you know, I'm happy with the person I am, I'm you know, doing good, you may not need this practice, but most of us don't feel that way. Most of us are beating ourselves up for something. And this is just saying, okay, you can stop beating yourself up because that's not doing anything but harming you. And we count. You know? Every person that harms themselves is putting negative energy in the world. Every person who's harming themselves is not available to someone else. you know. We need to take care of ourselves, and this is a good practice to do it. Because this is one that says, I have some power to change how I am. You know? And we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to get it just right in order, you know, to have a better day. And that's why rejoicing is so important. Because we have to be able to see that we do a lot right. That's the proof that we have the ability to change. Because almost everything that we get right, we learned. You know, we learned how to do that. We learned how to get dressed. We learned how to brush our teeth. We learned how to bathe. We learned how to read. If you teach anything, you had to learn that skill of whatever it is you're teaching. You know, all of those involved, you know, so we've changed our level of knowledge. We've changed our, things like sharing. We share our knowledge, you know, as adults. You know, we, you know, when we were kids, we learned how to share our toys. You know, as adults, we share our knowledge, you know. So that's what our jobs involve, and, you know, that's what our parenting involves, all those kinds of things. And all of them are proof that we have somehow gone out into the world and incorporated something within us. And now we're sharing it. You know? So we want to look at those things and go, ooh, I did that well. You know, I encourage people well. You know? I taught someone how to do this today. I stopped at the red light and made everybody else at that intersection safe. These things matter. You know, that's how the world functions. It's how it works. So all the people here who are fairly, you know, reliable people who stop at the red lights, who, you know, wait till after they yield to turn right on red and all that kind of stuff, you're helping the world function. This is how, it's helping us trust each other. You know, it's like when cities go through phases where everybody runs red lights and you can't trust whether people are going to actually stop. And so part of your day, all day long, is every time you come up to a stoplight, you're going, I wonder if they're going to stop. I wonder if they're really going to be stopped. People who don't do that are relieving stress. I mean, all these ways in which, you know, so if you're a polite driver, if you let people in, if you don't curse people out, you know, all those things, you are adding to all those people's lives that are around you in cars a better day. And as someone who reacts to all those things, I can tell you it's a better day, you know? So, you know, these things, you need to think about these things before you go to bed at night. You know, if you fed your kids, if you bathed your kids, if you brought them to school, if you didn't kill them, you know, all these things matter. Because people do kill their children. And you're not. Rejoice about that. And I'm not kidding. Some of us have bad days and we can't think of a thing that we did right that day. Trust me, if you didn't kill someone today, you're beating out a lot of people. And that's a sad statement, but it's something to be really happy about, that I'm the kind of person who is not in that condition. You know, I don't have to really worry about whether I'm going to pull my gun out. You know, this is good news. And the Buddha said, you created the cause for that. And the cause for that is a peaceful mind, an ethical mind, you know? And we want more of those. So all the things that we do, all the things we think about at night, to, you know, when we're doing our little purification practice, you know, those are ways in which we're trying to even do better. So it's not like you're starting below the horizon, you're already starting in a good spot. And you're just, where, you know, you've got all these resources, all this kind of you know, we live in a pretty good country. We live in, you know, probably, you know, we have pretty good shelter. We've got food. We've got fairly healthy family, you know, or even if they're not healthy. But, I mean, it's just they've got resources if they're not healthy. All these things, those are all the results of our actions. That's the big leap here in Buddhism. You know, that the reason that we suffer, the reason that we are happy, is because of our past actions. But way past. You know, like previous life stuff. So, but we can see in this very life, whether we believe in past or future lives, most of us don't have any proof of that, so we kind of are going on, you know, theory. So, you know, but we can see directly that when we have what's considered like a negative state of mind, like anger, how in that very moment we are suffering. You know, not to mention what we might be creating the conditions for other people to suffer, but we are suffering in that moment. And we can do something about that. Any questions so far? Yep.
I think one thing that really kind of trips me up is when we say some of these prayers like, I regret all my negative actions since beginningless time. I mean,
really?
Yeah. And I'm just good to go day by day. And I really don't feel like I can do much about anything I've done in previous lives.
Nope.
I mean, so can I just like not worry about that?
Yeah, what you can do though, if you absolutely. But I think the key here is getting back to this idea that we don't erase anything anyway.
Right.
You know? But what you can do, what we absolutely can do, is make it so we never do it in the future. Never. Ever again. Till endless time. And that's pretty amazing, you know? And we don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about is the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is that 12-step thing, you know? We just take it day to day, you know? If I don't kill anybody today, that's going to make the odds better. I won't kill anybody tomorrow. Yep.
I think one of the other things that really helped me from your teachings from a long time ago, if you remember, I think I talked to you several times about being so frustrated that, I did it again, and it was, but this time you recognized it sooner. I still hold that teaching for when, you know, I muck up and I'm thinking about it and it's like, oh, but you know what, I'm recognizing it sooner, I'm fixing it sooner, I'm doing something about it sooner. So I think that
yes, and we have, and this again is about the rejoicing part. You know, this recognition that we're not the same as we were a year ago. You know, that we have made progress in our lives. You know, most of us can look at our relationships and see changes. You know, we can see, oh, okay, I respond better to the conditions than I used to. And it's really important to notice that. And that there's some things that we just keep doing, you know, but we're aware of it, whereas we probably went blindly through for decades where we didn't notice it at all. And even though other people kept kind of giving us hints, you know, and we're going, no, 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 not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. I don't do that, you know. You know, and now we can go, oh, yeah, I do. You know, and it might first be like, oh, God, yes, I do. You know, and it's this horror story in front of us. But eventually, you know, it's just, you know, okay, yep, all right, not there yet, keep working, but we notice it, and we cannot change it if we don't notice it. We just can't do it, yeah.
When you say, let's say we insult someone and we regret it, and we can't change that we did the insult, can we erase negative karma? Can that be called a change? Because that's what
we can't erase negative karma, but we can cause it not to bear fruit.
So the seeds will die.
Yeah, they get burnt out. Yes, so they can't bear fruit. It's like the seeds. You can't make the seeds not exist. But you can make them so that they can't give birth to anything in the future. Okay, yeah.
There's something that I find rather strange. Okay, when you were talking about doing Vajrasattva visualization and repeating the mantra and so forth, culturally, that seems very odd and foreign to me.
Yep.
Nevertheless, when I do it, I feel better.
Yep.
And I don't understand that. How can that be? It doesn't make any sense to me, but I still feel better.
Yeah, well, I wish I could explain it, but they would say, the teachings would probably say that you have familiarity from the past, and so that it's comfortable for you. I don't know why. It just depends on your culture. Some people have, because they've prayed in the past in their religious traditions, that the action of saying mantras or visualizing, white light, it is familiar. And it gives them some peace that the idea behind it is we have help. Nobody can do it for us. Nobody can do the work, but they're rooting for us. There's help. And the help mostly that we actually can receive is through teachings. We've given you some instructions and this is what to do. Yeah.
I seem to remember hearing that from the Buddhist side, these syllables that have been recited for all these thousands of years get imbued with some kind of power because so many people have said the same ones. But from my personal experience, reciting something like a mantra gives me a moment to focus on that and the positive intent of that and not whatever it was I was stressed or worried about before.
Yep. So I think it just depends. It doesn't work for me at all. I have no connection to mantras, really. I have no karma with sound. I can't sing. I can barely pronounce English words, much less Sanskrit or Tibetan. I don't come from a religious tradition that had any kind of fun stuff on the walls. I walked into the Kadampa Center back when it was in a basement, and it was like a little bitty room full of this, and was like, okay, this is weird. I don't have that connection. Through practice, it's pretty easy for me to do, now. The visualizations and stuff, which really surprises me because I'm one of those. Sangi Kajo came to the center one time and gave us a teaching. She was going through this lovely, visualization of Shakyamuni Buddha. And finally at the end she goes, of course, if you kind of just see the hint of gold, that's good. That's good enough. And I'm going, oh, good. Because I don't see that either. But it's sort of like, it's kind of doable. I can imagine being able to do that. But so I think it's, familiarity. I think that, yes, they say that is something that's been done and that's been successful for others over long periods of time. And people who are keeping their vows, lots of, pure energy around it, gives it a strength, but I'm not in tune to that, so I don't have a clue. It is important not to be distracted. So my key advice is that when you sit down to do this, you wait. Like when you try to, you think of something that you've done, you wait until you feel sad. You don't skip over that. And so sometimes you have to milk it. You have to go, imagine their face. Imagine how you felt when somebody said something maybe worse, something more harsh or something, so that you can really have that heart shift where you kind of go, yeah, I'm really sorry I did that. That's important. You want them to go, this doesn't take long. There are days where you can't quite get there. But through practice, the actual practice can take minutes it doesn't have to take long. So we're not talking about you have to devote hours of your day to this. It's really just about you've got to apply your mind to it. And the more focused you are, the faster it goes, because you're not distracted. You're not being pulled this way. So it's important to do it. A lot of people do it just, you know, when they go to bed. They get into bed, and it's the last action that they really do, because they don't have people pulling on them. Their attention is not being pulled. The TV's off. But you set aside whatever list and planning you're doing for the next day, because this is the big planning you can do. Is, ooh, I'm going to be a better person tomorrow because I'm going to remember what I didn't do so well today, you know, and I'm going to apply myself tomorrow to try to be a little less impatient, or I'm going to try to be a little less inattentive, or I'm going to try to be a little less self-absorbed. I don't know what your stuff is. I'm impatient. I'm really an impatient person, and I get angry quickly because of it. And so that's the thing I have to really watch, is that it's really easy for me to forget I like people, and I'd like to be liked, you know, those things, you know. And I forget that, and I think, you know, I'm driving along, and I go, oh, my God, don't they know they can kill people in that machine? You know, and I lose it, you know. So, you know, anyway, so I have to, you know, so you have to come, but I don't like being that person. You know, so when I'm thinking about that kind of day, you know, and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, when I see people fighting in a car, I hate that. You know, it feels bad. It feels dangerous. That's certainly true. You know, they're certainly not paying any attention to driving. But, you know, that's not good. And it's just sort of like, you know, it's, you know, I used to have to pick someone up from work during rush hour. So I'm driving to pick them up from work. So everybody else is leaving work, and I'm singing to all the songs. And, of course, there's nobody in the cars, and nobody can hear the fact that I cannot carry a tune, you know. And I'm doing it, and I'm smiling, and everybody that come in the other direction is miserable. You know, their faces, you can just see the stress. And, oh, God, now I have to go home and go fix dinner and da-da-da-da. And I just thought, ooh, I'm having a great day, you know. And I was, but it's... You know, again, it's even that impacts each other, you know? So I don't want to be the person that scares the person in the car next to me, you know? I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the person that's always having to consciously rein my mouth in, you know? I want to do better than that, you know? But it takes effort. You know, those are the, you know, so I have to apply myself. I have to remember. It's really just about remembering. Mindfulness is to remember. I just want to remember the kind of person I want to be. So in the morning, you set your motivation. You kind of go, what kind of person do I want to be today? You know? And what's going to come up for me that's going to make that difficult? You know, and send myself a little extra help. For those periods. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's going to be a little hard. So I'm going to have to I need to make sure that I've given myself a few minutes before that meeting, before that event, you know, to just remember the kind of person I want to be, you know, kind of thing. So you really kind of give yourself, you know, the kind of mental hug and support we need, and just to start the day, you know, like, okay. You know, I can handle it, and this is the kind of person I want to be, and so this is what I need to do to help myself be that kind of person. And then at the end of the day, we kind of give ourselves a hug going, oh, yeah, that went so well. So-so. Okay, I really wish I hadn't said that. Okay. All right, I'm going to try to remember that tomorrow. Maybe I'll have a chance to apologize to that person for being sharp, you know. So, and then, you know, do the remedy. Might be the apology, might be the Vajrasattva, it might be, you know, it's really helpful if you're not into the mantras, you're not into that kind of thing, you know, find a verse that means something to you, like, may all sentient beings be happy, you know, I will help them be happy, you know, there's a four lines for each line, so it's a 16-line, four-line verse. So, whatever. But, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to help them be happy. May all sentient beings be free from suffering.
So I have a question that just came up in my mind. I don't even know if this thing's on.
Just hold it close.
I feel like I'm like yeah, in my mouth.
Yeah, it is.
So is this one of those things like you feel worse before you feel better? And what,
yeah.
What I mean by that is like before, like I didn't realize like the path is more narrow for me now. So when I know that when I'm being mindful, I feel icky because I see all the things that I'm doing, whereas before, like, I didn't see the things that I was doing that was negative, and the consequences are negative. So is that... Okay.
Yeah, Buddhists really get depressed when they first start, you know. It's like when you first... Because you're becoming very self-aware. And our habit energy tends to be around the negative. We tend to be, you know, we kind of see that first, and we see it in big bold letters like a billboard. Sometimes I just feel like I'm a walking billboard that says non-virtue, 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 because, you know, like all these negative things are happening. So clearly, you know, I've created the cause for that. So,
thank you for answering that question.
Yeah, I mean, it does. So that's why, so let's talk a little bit about rejoicing, because rejoicing can also feel like one of those words that, rejoicing, you know, so what? It's kind of a, but it's celebrating the things that you've done well, you know? And so sometimes we're not good at being able to even come up with anything. So sometimes you can practice by rejoicing about someone else, you know? Say you have a friend that you really just think is doing a great job, or a boss that you really like, or a partner that you really like, you know, or kids that are really rising to some challenge in their lives. You know, kind of reflect on that. And then shift to you. You know, we kind of have to practice these things. We have to even remember what the words are. Because we immediately go, oh yeah, but... Look how I followed up that good thing with that really rotten thing, you know. So you need to come back. You need to just, and this again is contrived and effortful. It is a habit one has to develop to look at the good qualities and not have all these messages about, oh, you're just being prideful, you know. We really want, so you have to come up with reasons why it's a good idea to rejoice. You know, like, we all know, you know, why we pat our kids on the back. Because it helps them do it again. You know, we need to do the same. Ooh, good job. You know, we want to do it again. That's valuable. That's not, you know, it's not meaningless to do that. We really want to do our good actions again. So we want to celebrate them. Yeah. It's right behind you, John. Yeah.
I've realized that there are things that are negative that I want to give up. And before I want to give them up, I already want to have something in place
mm-hmm.
that's going to go in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I really can't give it up and have a vacuum. And so I try to anticipate, well, kind of like an arbitrary something to fit into that negative slot, even if it's just a holding pattern until something better fits in. Is that kind of where you're going with?
No, but that's true. I think that, you know, like, you know, I had to accept that I had to carry around a paperback book for a couple of years in order to not smoke. I always had to have something to do. You know, I couldn't tolerate waiting. So I had to have something to read. You know, it was just something I had to, you know, it was part of the thing of like, okay, I'm not going to make myself suffer through waiting without it. So I'm going to give myself something else to do. You know, now, the daily purification practice isn't so much about major life change. You know, that's a bigger process. It's sort of like part of that. This daily practice helps us do that, make bigger life changes or more, you know, a big shift. This is really more about how to become more self-aware all day long about, you know, like I've had friends who will tick their hand every time they lose their patience. You know, just so they can go, oh yeah, I did that a few times. And they also take their other hand every time they control it. So they'll pick something to work on for a week. I know Robbie used to do this, you know. I don't think he kicked his hand, but he just picked one. Like, oh, okay, I'm working on patience this week, you know, and just give him that to do. So then he brought his attention to that. I'm yelling on him. It's so much fun. So then, you bring your attention to it. And it's good to do it that way. You know, not to overwhelm yourself with, I regret lots of things today, you know. The advantage of doing it every day is you don't have as much to stack up. You do it once a week, you have a lot more. You know, so it's good to do it every day. And so if you pick a topic, you know, then you just really are looking at those things this week, you know, today. Because it can be overwhelming. And if you're just beginning to be very self-aware of your different habits of body, speech, and mind, it can really just throw you. Because meanwhile, you're not noticing all the things you did right today, you know, like you know. I don't know. Let's think of all the things we do right. So you wake up in the morning. What have you already done right?
You woke up.
Maybe you got up and you made your bed. You know, so nobody else has to see your messy room. I just closed the door, by the way. But, you know, we all have to find our methods. But my mother didn't allow anybody to come in my room. She just started putting clean clothes, which was very kind of her to bother washing my clothes at all outside of my room because I'm kind of a slob. Well, I'm not messy. I'm not dirty. I'm just kind of a stacker. Anyway, I don't put things away. So, but we, you know, all the things that we can do that help the world move more smoothly matters. You know? We don't give enough credit for all the things of daily living until you get sick and you can't do them. You know? It's really a pain in the neck when someone can't do their own thing. You know? So every day that we do them, you know, we can be happy about that. It also reflects good health. So when we can take care of ourselves, we can rejoice about that. You know, that, oh, I have something to be grateful for today. And the Buddha says that everything we experience, we created the cause for. So if we're experiencing a period of good health, that's, you know, a sign of virtue in the past. You know, we can be happy about that. You know, so if you can't find anything out, you know, if you can't use your own logic to apply to your day to find good things, use someone else's. Use the Buddha's logic. Everything that goes right today, you created the cause for that. Everything. From having, you know, your refrigerator work in the morning, your car start, not getting in a wreck on the way to work, not catching every red light, or not catching every green light. You know, if you want to send a text message, it's really annoying when you never catch a red light, you know. So, you know. But, so everything we experience is good news we created the cause for. You know. So we have something to rejoice about. But it really helps. So if you're totally out of practice of thinking about that you do anything right, like I said, practice on someone else. Think about all those things that they do and then go, well, do I do any of those? You know, make yourself apply the effort. It is important to apply the effort. It is not enough to do purification and not rejoice. If you do purification, you got one thing to rejoice about. You just did purification. You just said, my bad actions matter, and I'd like to change them. So you don't just rejoice about the fact that you took responsibility for having done this bad action. You rejoice about the fact that you want to change it. That's you. That's not your mom. So you need to change it. That's you. Saying, I want to do something differently. I want a different outcome. That's good news. And that says a lot about you. And it's a good thing. You know, so we want to be happy about that. What?
So, like, one of the reasons, and again, it's all ebbs and flows, but one of the reasons I stopped meditating at night last year, I do in the morning, was because, A, I was too tired, and then by the time I finished meditating at night, it would wire my brain up, and I couldn't sleep, so I had to stop. That's just how I'm wired.
You have a question in there?
Yeah, the question is, so in purification, right, how do I there are some nights when I do it, I'll sleep great, and then there's some nights afterwards that I'm done, but my brain is still thinking, and it's keeping me up. Not a bad way. And so I don't know, is that normal?
Yeah, sure. Just like anything else.
You know?
You know, some days that if we put our minds on something, it wakes us up and gets us stirred up. You know, you might want to look at what it is. It may be good news.
Well, yeah, sometimes it is.
Sometimes you just can't wait to wake up tomorrow and see how well you do.
Well, yeah, sometimes because you feel too amped. But
I mean, why not?
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, okay.
That's just life. Yeah, and they do recommend meditation in the morning.
Right.
You know, but it depends on you. You know, we have to be self-aware enough to see if it's working for us. The good reason to do purification at night is because it's a great opportunity to say, I resolve not to do this for at least the next 6 hours. You know, it's a starting point. So when you're feeling like stretching yourself, you can say 7 hours, and you might be awake for one of them. You know, I mean, you know, you got to start. And really, the starting point is taking responsibility and regretting it. You know, saying, okay, I did that. All right. And then trying to make this, you know, this restraint. You're making a promise of restraint. That's really important. And one of the things that you'll hear in the traditional teachings about Vajrasattva is that at the end you're supposed to imagine that Vajrasattva is really happy with you. That's rejoicing. You know? So we're just, it's just that we need to, it's sort of like parenting ourselves, you know? All right. So you have regret. You have reliance. Then you have a remedy. The remedy, you know, an easy remedy is the Vajrasattva because it's just there. Or any verse. You know, like the Four Immeasurables. Something that's meaningful to you. If you happen to discover that you have, you know, that you feel better when you do mantras and things, then do mantras and things, because as Denise was saying, they get imbued, the sound of these words become imbued with a power of just speech. We know speech is powerful. That's why we have things to purify. Speech is very powerful. So mantras is just virtuous speech. Sometimes it helps to read a translation. They're not literal translations because these are often name mantras, but it's, you know, but there's a translation of Vajrasattva, which I would have brought if I'd remembered. But it's kind of lovely, you know, it's just sort of like, ooh, you know, I want to change kind of thing. Please help me do this. So, but it's not, you know, Buddhism doesn't teach that, you know, you don't need forgiveness from anybody else. You know, I mean, it won't matter. It's not, it's just like, it's not about that. There's nobody, you know, in order to have good stuff happen to you in the future, you don't need someone to come tell you, you know, you've done good. You need to do good if you want good stuff to happen to you in the future. It's cause and effect. That's all it is. And this is just about the mind. You know, just like planting the garden and having beautiful flowers grow won't happen if you're not planting beautiful flowers.
The meaning,
what page is that?
It's in the syllable.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, you, Vajrasattva, have generated the holy mind, which just means bodhicitta. What does bodhicitta mean? the wish to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. What's the direct cause of bodhicitta? Great compassion. And? Highest intention. You take great compassion, the wish that all beings are free of suffering, and you put it with the highest intention, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take responsibility for the happiness of all sentient beings by cleaning up my act, getting rid of all my negativities, perfecting all my positive qualities in order to become a Buddha. Because, I mean, the Buddhist teachings are based on the foundation that we can all become Buddhas. We can all perfect our good qualities and leave all our negative qualities behind. So the foundation of this, if you have nothing else to lean on, is the idea that you have Buddha nature, that you can become a Buddha. You have that ability. You just need to learn how. It's just a process. And this is part of the process, is saying, ooh, I don't like this person I'm being today. I'm going to change my actions of body, speech, and mind so I'm a slightly different person tomorrow. And then year after year passes and you're a better person. We all know this because we all are already doing it. We just are trying to get it a little better. You know, we're just polishing it a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. You know, because we're not Buddhas yet. Okay, so your holy mind, what does holy mind mean? You see, I mean, sometimes for some people, these kinds of words are kind of like a turnoff. What does holy mind mean?
Positive mind.
Positive mind, virtuous mind. They're doing the positive stuff. This is someone who's not, who's already gotten rid of the negative actions. They're not impatient. You know, they're not angry. They're not miserly. They're not biased. I was trying to think, what's the opposite of equanimity? You know. Okay. It's enriched with the simultaneous holy actions of releasing wow, this is quite the phrase, of releasing transmigratory beings from samsara. They've helped others get liberated. And how do they do that? What do we teach about that? How do Buddhas help us? They teach us how to become better people, how to have more peaceful minds, happier minds, positive minds. Whatever happens in my life, happiness or suffering, good or bad, with a pleased holy mind, never give up, but please guide me. Please stabilize all happiness, including the happiness of the upper realms. Actualize all actions in sublime and common realizations. And please make the glory of the five wisdoms abide in my heart. So what you need is to create this kind of motivation that is meaningful to you. So it really does help to spend some work on motivation. Why do you want to change? What do you want out of life? What do you want at the end of the day? What helps you sleep at night? You know, for me, I finally had, I really worked hard on this thing because I have a lot of fear and anxiety. So I had to, figure out, okay, what is it? What do I need to feel safe? You know, I thought, well, I'd really like to feel like I could walk through a jungle and handle whatever came up. I have not gotten there yet. You know? So, but it's that. It's, and so it's not, because we can't control out here. But we can control here. So we can control what we say, what we do, how we contribute to the world. But we can't change overnight. So it's a process. So recognizing, you know, being very self-aware and try to be self-aware of everything, the good stuff and the bad stuff, because we want to repeat the good stuff and we want to let go of the bad stuff. you know, those negative habits, because they don't serve us well. We know they don't help our kids. We know they don't help our partners. We, you know, but they don't help us. You know, when we really lose it, when we go to bed that night, we feel bad. It makes us suffer. We really don't like being like that. So we sleep better when we feel like we've done a pretty good job. So we need to start noticing. And we need to notice what we do well. So after we do our regret and reliance and remedy, then we resolve. We make a decision. Okay, I'm going to try to restrain myself from that behavior, whether it's body, speech, or mind behavior, you know, for a certain length of time. And we want to be realistic, you know. So we want to say, if it's something that we do a lot, then you really want to say, okay, through tomorrow's meeting, I'm going to hold my tongue for 20 minutes before saying anything. You know? Like, I can be very greedy in, like, group discussions. You know, you know? So I have to go, I'm going to practice restraint, and I'm not going to open my mouth, you know? Because I've said enough already. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways that we can be self-serving. But it actually doesn't serve us well. Self-centeredness does not work. So we need to notice that fact of cause and effect, you know. That's one of the clues where we can see, you know, like, okay, maybe I want to be a little more open, a little more generous, a little more cherishing others, you know, and not so self-guarded, because it doesn't actually work well. But we do have to have self-care. So it's, you know, so this trying to be better people does not mean I'm going to leave myself out of the equation. Self-care is extremely important to our ability to help others. And that's something, you know, we're really kind of a contradictory society, because we actually do a lot of self-care. Their whole industry is devoted to self-care, you know. So we, you know, we kind of do it right, in the sense that we have lots of massage therapists. We have lots of, you know, I don't know, different things that, you know, help us survive the week. But the thing that the Buddha said was actually, you know, cherishing others will get us there better, you know. We'll be actually happier. You know, it's like this morning. I mean, I get really nervous before doing something like this, and, you know, but this morning I had to go visit a friend in a hospital, you know, who'd had surgery yesterday. So I wasn't thinking about anything except getting to the hospital in time to be able to bring her something she asked for, you know, and so I wasn't thinking anything about being here, you know, and my morning was a lot better than it would have been if I hadn't had somebody else to do something for, you know. So we just want to notice those things, because that will help guide us about what we want out of life. You know, I have the habit of thinking that goofing off brings me happiness. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolutely wrong, wrong, wrong. I am 60 years old and I still buy it. And it's a lie. I've been telling myself this lie for a long time. And so I have to completely ignore it. It comes up in my mind, oh, you just want to, you know, just go home. You know, kick your feet up, relax, and you will be bored out of your mind. But, you know, so I had to just totally ignore it. So we want to learn to have that kind of self-awareness. We need to notice things that we do that actually don't work, and quit listening. And all of these things are benefited by the habit of purification at the end of the day, because you're noticing. and rejoicing. So those two bookends at the end of the day, especially if you've motivated at the beginning of the day, set an intention at the beginning of the day of what kind of day you want to have, then you can assess, am I getting closer to where I want to be? And if not, oh, I'll redo. Did you have a comment, question? Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Thanks. All right, so we've only got about 30 minutes left. So how do we want to spend that time? Okay, fine, rejoice, rejoice. We can go around the room. Ask everybody to say one thing that they're rejoicing about. Notice I did not do that with what you regretted. Yeah. Yes?
Can we talk about maybe something that a really big problem that we had that we did in the past, like killing?
Okay. So, yeah, if you have a big regret.
Yeah,
okay. So daily purification isn't really the appropriate condition to work on the big mistakes that we've made that we're still carrying around with us. Because it's not enough, you know, you need a little more, it's a bigger process, you know. But, so you really don't want every night to revisit that. You know, that's not going to help your mind. And this is all about helping our minds. Sometimes it's really helpful if you have a teacher to go ask a teacher, what would be a good practice for me to do to kind of shake this? Okay, so that you have something to do. Can I do something, you know? And they might give you a practice. Like we have a friend that at the center who was a Vietnam War fighter pilot person, and they've been making 1,000 Buddhas. Because making images of Buddhas is a purification practice. And he says he just loves painting the Buddhas. It just makes him so peaceful. You know, it's a really good practice for his mind. Because we can't erase things we've done. We have to live with them. And you go, even monks and nuns are given permission to give back their vows in the time of war if you're conscripted. You know how they used to be able to make you be a soldier, you know, so that you could, you know, not break your vows, you know, and not be shot for not breaking your vows, you know. So it's sort of like, you know, so we can't guarantee we won't become a soldier. We don't have much control over out here. But we can work on our minds. We, you know, so we really want to look at, we can use the process of purification, you know, the daily habit of purification. I don't even like the word purification. It's, to me, it's really like, you know, transformation. It's our daily transformation, you know, affirmation. It's like we're saying, yes, I want to change. And this is one way to go about it, you know. So, you know, I really like that. Thank you very much. But it can start helping you dismantle the big regrets to start looking them in pieces. Like, how did I get there? What habits brought me? Do I still have them? You may have already given up the habits that created that situation. So you can let it go. Self-forgiveness in Buddhism is about recognizing we can change, and we do change, and we have changed. We don't have to hold on to anything that says, I am this way. No, you're not. You're not the same person you were 3 seconds ago. The whole body has gone, we just can't see it. We, you know? I mean, it's really, I mean, I always wonder, what if our eyes were electron microscopes, you know, and we could see what's really going on here? You know, we're constantly changing. And if you look at all the things you worried about as a teenager, and you think you haven't changed, you know, we're just not the same people. And we just aren't from year to year. Sometimes we kind of go in the direction we don't want to go, and sometimes we go in a better direction. It just depends. But it depends on what we are doing. So it's sort of like, you know, like if you watch television every single night, and say your habit is you watch, say, maybe the news before you go to bed, you know, and so you go to bed with a nice worried mind, because the world's always a mess, you know, because it's populated with people making mistakes. So maybe that's not a good habit. So we want to look at, so you want to look at your the conditions for perhaps this big regret you're carrying around. So what created it, you know, well, how'd you get there to do the action? Are you that same kind of person? Because we need to come to trust in ourselves. Can I trust myself not to repeat that? And almost everybody's, you know, if you, you know, you're an adult, you know, most of us have made some big mistakes, really harmed someone else. You know, we may not have been a soldier, and then of course we're under orders, we're not even under our own decision-making power. But we've, you know, cheated on partners, we've yelled at kids, we've, I don't know, I got in a power struggle one time when I was 28 with this kid who's like 12 and in a inpatient hospital for substance abuse. And I'm screaming at this kid over this counter, you know, going, okay, yeah, this is an effective strategy. And it was this child, you know, I mean, like, and I will never forget that. It was totally the wrong thing to do, but I don't feel guilty about it. It's just this reminder. Oh, yeah, that's right. First of all, anger never works, you know, in case you forget, you know, and that, you know, even if someone's not a child, being yelled at is a terrible thing. You know, I don't want to do that to people. And I'm perfectly capable of it. I remember. You know? So the mistakes we have, it's not like we need to erase them from history. They're useful to know. Oh, look what I'm capable of doing. Yeah, let's try to figure out how not to do that again, because that, you know, didn't make me happy. You know, and that's not my biggest mistake, trust me. So, you know, we all have done things. I mean, I've done things that, you know, I really hope I never tell anyone, you know. I don't want you to know. But does that mean that somehow that makes me a worse person than anybody else in this room? No. It doesn't define us. This is what the Buddha is trying to teach us about the mind. We are not our actions. But our actions have consequences. We are in charge even when we don't want to admit it. It is our habits that have created. So we're born with habits, according to the Buddha. You know, we come, you know, we don't come clean slate. We come with previous habits of mind. You know? And that doesn't seem fair, but we created it, so, you know, too bad. But so we need to just look at, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle, you know, if we've made some big mistake. You know, other people were involved. You know, we just need to be gentle with accepting that we can't erase it. It happened. It's done. It's over. Is carrying it forward serving any purpose? Is it helping? Is it making you a nicer person? Or is it making you depressed? You know, it's interesting that when we're beating ourselves up, we're usually not nicer to people. It kind of spews out. You know, we tend to be a little more impatient. Because we're so busy beating ourselves up, we don't have time for you. You know? So it's actually not useful. And that's why guilt is not helpful. It keeps us stuck. Regret says, I can change. And that's the purpose of regret. Is, ooh, I don't want to do that again. If we were a certain way, we could not do that. If we were inherently existent, we would not be able to change it. But if you look at yourselves carefully, you are not going to be able to find anything that hasn't changed. We are very changeable. You know, look at your children. You know, see all their little habits of this and that and that. And remember, you were that. Do you resemble that at all now? You know? So this is the thing. We are completely capable of changing our inner realm, our non-physical realm, our mind. So big regrets can be useful in that they serve a purpose in helping remind us of where we don't want to end up again. They are not useful if it's holding us back, if it's keeping us, if we are using it as a, this is not true for everybody, but I know for myself that my guilt really was fueled by the laziness of change. I did not want to have to do the change. It's just easier to be that. Doesn't make you happier. It's not easier actually to live your life like that. But, you know, it comes back to this thing that I think goofing off is going to bring happiness. You know, it's the same kind of idea that, oh, you know, that not doing something is somehow better. Well, no, that's another lie. You know, so guilt was sort of a way for me to give permission to myself to not change. I just am that way. If you would see my childhood, you'd understand why I'm that way. You know, it's crap. It's, you know, it is not true. And I'm a much happier person today because I let go of that. I'm not sure I let go of the belief, but I don't listen to it anymore. Because we lie to ourselves all the time. And it's helpful sometimes, if you're really in the habit of guilt, to talk yourself out of it. To have a little lecture. You know, when I was in a process of real shame, when I was trying to save my marriage and failed miserably, failed. But I did not fail myself at all. It was one of the best years I've ever had. I slept better because I worked hard. I worked really hard at changing. And I had to spend all my waking time going, don't say that, don't say that, don't do that. Oh, guilt's not getting me anywhere. Let go of that. Yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, big time. Da-da-da. Move on. I mean, I just had to constantly tell myself that. Okay, you can stay. You know, you can just keep feeling sorry for yourself, you can feel guilty, or you could, like, maybe save your marriage. You know? And I mean, literally, constant talk. I was a sorry excuse for a wife. And I had to do big work. You know, a lot of people that end up in places like this with a nice partner, you know, like my ex-husband would be here, you know. I'm that other person. I'm the person that wasn't nice. I'm that person who said everything that shouldn't have been said. I'm that person who was, you know, abusive. I'm the person, I'm that other person that's usually not here. You know, so I had to do, if you have that kind of history that you're walking around with, you have to do a lot of talk to yourself to move forward. Because you can stay there forever. And then you become the Hitler of the future, some future life. You're the jerk that just wants to kill everybody you don't like. You know, that's where my mind was headed. You know, it's you, you're the problem. Let's just get rid of you. You know, that was my theory. It doesn't work. You know, but you have to, but so for me to change, I had to put an awful lot of mental effort to not staying stuck in guilt, because guilt doesn't work. Guilt's an excuse to stay the same. You know, so you're not doing your loved ones a favor by feeling guilty. Regret can be useful. You know, it's this action that says, ooh, I am sorry for what I did, and I want to change that. And the Buddhists are saying you can. It's a you know, it's a matter of learning who's in charge of your mind. And you need to take charge. And so sometimes it's that kind of thing like, okay, I'm just not upset. I'm not talking, not talking, not talking. And you spend your whole day going, I'm not responding to that. I'm not, bit my tongue all day long. And I deserved every moment of it. I needed that kind of active restraint because I was a jerk, you know. So all my habit energy was not nice. So it just, you know, this is why, you know, you want to not judge others in your spiritual center. You don't know from where they came. They could be doing really good work, you know, even if they're yelling at you. So, I mean, you know, this is the thing. You know, so we just have to work on, you know, our own minds and go, okay, that wasn't so good. Now, I could spend the rest of my life just totally doing nothing but, revisiting every mistake I ever made. And I wouldn't run out of time. I mean, I wouldn't run out of things to regret. You know, I could do it till I'm 9,002 and wouldn't have anything, no spare time. You know, but that's, you know, so I could continue to act like that and have more of those things to regret, or I could say, okay, enough of this, I got to change now. This is not acceptable. People who are abusive have to change now. So if you're an abuser, you need to change now. You know, it's not acceptable to keep doing that behavior. If you're not one of those, you know, this purification practice is going to be a little more pleasant. But if you want to change, it's an effortful thing. You know, and part of the effort is rejoicing in what you've done well. You need to believe in that. Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about victims and their mentality? And
I don't know them. Remember, I'm on the other side. I created victims. All right. Sometimes changing your conditions is brilliant. I thought my ex-husband was very smart to leave. You know, that was showing wisdom, getting out of bad situations, is a good thing to do. Then you have to be able to, if you're carrying your victim mentality with you, in spite of the fact that the conditions are different, then you need to work on changing that. You know, you need to look at what is it that you think you're gaining by holding on to this. I usually feel like it's something about safety, that we feel safe with what's familiar, first of all. That's why the Buddhas keep teaching us to become familiar, because we like familiarity. So we want to change, you know, if we're familiar with yelling at people, we want to become familiar with keeping our mouths shut. And it's a change. Doesn't matter what kind of change it is. Change is kind of effortful. It's hard. And it's kind of shocking because it doesn't feel, it feels unsettling. You know, even if it's good stuff, like a new job or something, it's very kind of scary. So we need to be prepared for that. Oh, that's okay. I don't have to freak out just because it feels uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is not bad. Uncomfortable just means different. You know, so I have to be okay with that. You know, and I think that when we get in ourselves, when we feel like we're not good enough or we can't do or whatever, that feeling of discomfort comes up a lot when we're trying to change. And so it's really important to not be so easy on us that we just don't experience any discomfort. That won't get us anywhere. You know, it's like regret. Regret doesn't feel good, you know, but it can make you happy. You know, there's an ease of mind that comes from taking responsibility. So part of, you know, I've been a victim in my life, but mostly I've victimized. So I can't really speak to that well. But I think that it's, you know, I think that, I had a point. Just, you know, it's sort of like, to me, like guilt holds us back. It keeps us stuck. It gives us permission to stay stuck. Being a victim can do that as well. You know, it's...
I guess that's what I was kind of referring to. Sometimes as a victim, we feel powerless. We don't have the courage to change or whatever the excuse we may have. But sometimes it feels like there's no way out.
Yeah. And that's why this idea of rejoicing is so important, is because it's this recognition of positive change. You know, so like if you're still in difficult circumstances, you know, or bad, you know, conditions that where you're being harmed, you may need help in getting out. You know, you don't need to rely on yourself alone. In fact, none of us do. This is why we come to classes. This is why we have discussion groups. This is why we have friends. We don't have to do anything alone. There are 7 billion of us on the planet. There's help out there. So we find it. And again, that's taking responsibility, that I'm in charge of my future. Children don't have that option. So parents have to do it for us. You know, but, you know, this is, you know, but it's, but it, again, it's just sort of like, okay, what is it? What habits of mind did I learn in that situation when perhaps, you know, a lot of people live in dysfunctional homes as growing up, and so we have to figure out, what am I carrying forward that I don't need to carry forward anymore? What is not helping? What am I, and I'm now in charge. You know, I'm out of that situation. It's now my job, my responsibility. I can't blame the externals anymore. It's my turn to do something about it. And I think that, you know, it probably sounds a little odd, but if you're in the habit of beating yourself up, that's something to purify. That's self-harm. And you want to change that. You want to transform that. You know, it's something to go, oh, I've been really treating myself badly today. And I'm sorry for that. that's going to be hard. Finding the reasons why you're worth not harming can be very difficult. So you need to, you know, that's like homework. You know, that's extra work you have to do. And most of, you know, most people in our culture seem to need that. Did you want to? Yeah.
So the victimization thing, I think, because I had been in an abusive relationship, and so you do kind of get some of that. But then you also have that victimization about, okay, why do these bad things always seem to happen to me? Why cancer? Why this? Why that? And so you're blaming all of the external. And I had the shift when I actually felt incredibly empowered when you start to realize that, okay, so I created the conditions, maybe not now, maybe not in this lifetime, but somewhere back there. So all of a sudden you start to look, it was just incredibly empowering to me when all of a sudden I realized, you know what, okay, so I created the conditions, this is why this is happening now, so what do I need to do to make sure that I don't do this again, that even if I don't realize what those were, because, you know, I don't think of myself as a bad person, but somewhere back there I had to have been. And so I just found it very empowering, and that empowerment and that knowledge that I can change, that I can do something about it, that I can make sure that I don't create these conditions again, that I stop it, for me, helped to stop that victimization mentality. Because it was very easy to fall into that, you know, and just all of these things. Well, why the bad stuff is happening? But I found it empowering. I still do, and I use that all the time.
Yeah.
It's like when bad stuff happens, because it will.
Yeah, that's where I find really understanding karma is very helpful. This idea that we really are responsible for the life we're living. We're not responsible in the sense that most of the things, what the teachings say is most of the things we experience in this life are the results of things we've done in the past, in past lives. Well, we don't have any control over that, you know. So, you know, but we do have control over what our future selves will experience. You know, so it's but this way of trying to get out of this attitude that life is happening to us, you know, as opposed to recognizing that our response to life is everything, you know, and that we're totally in charge of. Yes. And that takes practice. You know, in these daily practices of setting a motivation and then ending the day with purification and rejoicing can help you take some of that power and start recognizing you already got some of it. You know, it's not like you're just kind of, you know, you're already utilizing that power. You just may be stuck in some habitual patterns that you need breaking out of, and that may take more effort than you thought. You know, that it takes a lot of effort, any kind of change. Because what they say is, I mean, if the Buddhist teachings are correct, let's say the mind never ceases, and so all the minds that have ever existed have always existed, and so since beginningless time, whatever universe, you know, whatever, you know, we're carrying that habit energy now. So here it is. This is, you know, we're supposed to have 30 to 50 mile per hour wind gust this evening, you know. This is what we're up against. So you've got this energy coming of habit, and you're going, no, no. Well, it's, you know, it's going to put, you know, so you not only have to meet that, you have to overpower it. That's quite a bit of effort. So, you know, cut yourself slack that you don't change right away. Because you are really up against it. Your big habits have a lot of power. You've been doing them a long time. So it's really important to respect how powerful they are. And if, I mean, like me, I'm, you know, if you're abusive, you've got to stop. You know, so I can't, you know, it's not like, well, take your time. No, you've got to shut up, you know, and stop. So, you know, it's this kind of like you have to, you know, throw the door shut and put the big cross bar across it and just stop. That doesn't mean you've changed anything in terms of the way you're thinking. All it changes is the speech, you know. But that's a start. You know, if you can quit at least harming outwardly, you know, that's a start. But we need to respect what we're up against. And sometimes, if you have a lot of victim, you may need help with that. You may need therapy with that. You may need some, many resources to help you overcome these habits. But many of our habits, we don't need external help. We just need to, push ourselves. And that's where motivation, reminding ourselves at the beginning of the day or every hour if need be, what is it I want? And we're not talking about the external goals. It's about, at the end of your life, what do you want to look back and reflect upon? What memories do you want to have? And that, we can do something about, we can, starting now. We can't do something about, yesterday's actions, except, now this idea, so let me touch on this. So this idea that we can purify our seeds so that they don't ripen in the future. The idea here is that the sooner we feel regret. So if you do something and in that moment think, "Ooh, I wish I had said that," that's excellent. That shortens the lifespan of that seed really small. It stops it in its tracks. So they even, I think Atisha, immediately would do pure, do his mantras or whatever. I say Om Vajrasattva Hum 7 times, So it's just it's just this acknowledgement, and that helps me remember at the end of the day to do a little more work than that. But the sooner you regret, the better. Because that's taking responsibility. That's saying, I don't want to be that person. So you might be able to, that might even generate an apology. That might be sincere and effective. So you minimize the harm that's done. They say karma increases, so it expands. So to me, the simplest way to think about that is if you have the habit of yelling at your kids, you're going to yell at them even more, and then even more, and then even more. Our habits expand. They become more pervasive through our day. So it's just a matter of, doing these habits every day helps us contain them so that they don't expand. Now there's a difference. We often use the phrase, "Oh, she's sick, she's purifying something." Well, maybe. Definitely exhausting something. There's a difference between purification and exhausting. So anything that something negative arises, you get a cold, you're exhausting some harm you've done in the past to someone else. That's what poor health is about. So once it's ripened, you can't do anything about it, so you're exhausting that seed. That's how we talk about it. If you apply the four opponent powers to that, "Ooh, I created the cause for, this cold." That's usually because, you haven't guarded the life of something else in the past, and so that ripens as illness in this life or early death or whatever, "Ooh, I'm sorry I did that." You apply the four opponent powers. That purifies. Doesn't purify what's ripened because that's already, been there, done that. But pretty much with everything we've done it more than once. So you're helping, transform your mind to not do those actions repeatedly, to try to help remind yourself. Is that all I need to say about that? Okay. All right, so we're at the end. So, yep.
Can you do this class again?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Thank you, Tony. Will you do this class again or...
I don't know.
Build on it, supplement it at some point?
If I'm here, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this morning.
Yeah, happy. Okay. I was really happy to come. I love talking about this stuff. Hopefully I have some knowledge. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for sharing so much. I mean... Sometimes I have a tendency to think monks and nuns are kind of woo up there. They figured this all out, and you make it very real, and it's inspiring to me to push me on, because you put a face to what we all experience.
And what we need to remember, I mean, I really think it's important that Buddhas start here. You know? It's not magical. It's effort. It's effort. And we all know people who've done a lot of work. You know, that they, you know, and they may not have done it in this life, but they've got some really good habits going, and I want to be like that. You know, so this is how you get there. It's just, you go, oh, I can change. I can get there. So I just need a lot more time. So I need permission to obsess over these issues, you know, so, because I have a lot of work to do. So anyway, so what we want to do is really, like, this is one of those things you can rejoice about, you know, is, oh, I showed up to a class, I was open, you know, I'm trying to learn something new, I'm trying to learn things that may or may not, you know, you can discard all of this, but you have put the effort to try to do something to help you become a better person. That's something to really be happy about, you know. Not many people are doing that on Saturday morning. That's a cool thing. And that's something to be really happy about. So you've got, you know, so you put these little things you do, notice things that you do, put them in your pocket so that tonight you can go, oh yeah, that's right, I did that right. You know, these are good things. All your smiles to me is something to rejoice about, because it makes this sitting up here a lot easier. You know, so you can rejoice about that. The heartfelt regret that you're trying to generate, you can rejoice about that. You know, that's a virtue. So taking all those things, let's, you know, just take a moment to just try to take all this positive energy we've created by working on our minds, and, you know, kind of send it out, let it ripple out with the hope that it will be a benefit to the people just around you, the people that you'll bring it home, and bring some of that positive energy to your loved ones, and that just necessarily ripples out to our whole community and benefits the world. So I thank you for your time.